This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, Tengku Maimun Tuan Mat has been appointed as Malaysia's new Chief Justice, making her the first woman to hold the position. And she's replacing Dato' Richard Malanjum, who retired on April 12th. She began her career as a Judicial Commissioner at the KL High Court in October of 2006 and was elevated to the Court of Appeal, where she served from 2013 until 2018 before becoming a federal court judge.
Yeah, so some of her notable judges. She being part of a panel that made the unanimous ruling that a Muslim child conceived out of wedlock could take on his or her father's surname, and being part of the panel that 2013 unanimously reversed the murder conviction of two former police commandos over the Mongolian model Altan Tuya Sharibu 2006 death, which was later reinstated in 2015.
So to get a little bit more information on this, so we're speaking to Latifa Koya of Lawyers for Liberty about the appointment. Thanks for joining us, Latifa. So what does it mean for the judiciary to have this new Chief Justice?
Well, of course, this is a big deal. It's been 61 years and we have never gotten a Chief Justice, a woman Chief Justice. So it is the first one. And in that context, I think it's a big step for Malaysia. And that's when everybody starts saying back again, oh, this is Malaysia Baru.
And Latifa, what does the bar hope from this appointment?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the bar per se, but as a lawyer and as a member of the bar, we think that the fact that Tengku Maimun was appointed not just because she's a woman. As you know from the federal court judges list, as it stands now, we have actually a couple of women judges. So it could be almost a 50% chance that a woman CJ would have happened. But the fact that it is Tengku Maimun, and if one were to look at her list of judgments or participating in various cases, you would see, or one would say that she's a progressive judge, an independent judge. And so most people are very happy, and we expect a fairer judiciary under her leadership.
The legal community is still perceived to be an all-boys club. Do you think the appointment will have an immeasurable impact on the career trajectory of women in law?
Well, I don't know about whether it's still seen as an old boys club. Yeah, but I think the judiciary generally is led by the so-called old boys, even though if we were to look at the makeup of the judiciary, the representation for women over the past few years, in fact, there is an increase of women judges. If you look at Court of Appeal, there are more than 50% women judges in the Court of Appeal. Of course, that having said that, it has always been led by men and also much older men. So yes, it is it's a first step for it's a huge step for women to look at not just in a legal career per se, but the idea of having a woman leadership. It means a lot in future decisions and cases and so on.
And Latifa, considering some of her more notable dissenting judgment, like the Indira Gandhi as well as Kapil Singh sedition case, now what can we expect from her tenure as the Chief Justice?
Yes, in light of so many recent increasing conservatism or extremism or right-wing type of discourse that's happening, I think someone like Tengku Maimun, in the thick of this kind of discussion, had made decisions which were dissenting and being independent. So the Indira Gandhi decision actually, in fact, it marks the type of a person she is, and in this. In fact, is something we hope to see in the way the judiciary is going to shape itself as a Chief Justice. I think she has also herself said that being independent. As a lawyer who has appeared before her, even if we have lost a case, we feel that we had a fair hearing. You know, if, when we walk away from the court, we feel that we had a fair hearing before her. So Indira Gandhi, it is seen as a controversial figure.
Thank you so much, Latifa. That was Latifa Koya, a lawyer with Lawyers for Liberty. And I think the important thing that she highlighted here is that it's not just the fact that Tengku Maimun is a female judge that has been appointed Chief Justice, it's that she is widely known to be a progressive judge. And I guess that signals some positive things for reforms in our judicial system. Now, aside from that, other news that has been dominating the local news front, telco giants Axiata and Telenor are in talks to merge their Asian operations. Now, if this goes through, it will be a mega merger in Asia involving at least 300 million mobile subscribers.
So in Malaysia, Axiata wholly owns Celcom Axiata and Telenor controls 49% stake in Digi. So here's what we know so far. Sources told The Edge say that they have both hired foreign investment banks to advise on the exercise, and so far the value of the merger is unknown. The negotiation will involve countries where both companies have presence, including Malaysia, Thailand, Myanmar, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. And it will include countries where only Axiata also has a presence, like Cambodia, Indonesia, as well as Sri Lanka.
But the issue is that once this entity, I mean, this is a source news, which is not confirmed. Mm-hmm. The question has always been, when you merge two telcos, what is the synergy and who will be the shareholder? I think the Edge reports that Axiata will be the shareholder of the merged entity, and it will be a holding company that owns the enlarged regional mobile service operations. And why are they merging? This is an interesting question.
Yeah, because mergers in the telco industry are quite common, though, right? Because it's a fairly tough operating landscape. You know, you've got a very cutthroat competition as well as thin profit margins and very heavy in the way of capital expenditures.
But at the same time, is there synergy? Because the market share in many of these countries is not exactly growing, except for maybe in the case of Bangladesh, Pakistan, the more frontier markets. But the developed markets like Malaysia and Thailand, the growth of the telco has actually been quite flat.
Yeah. And I think it's also looking at, you know, again, at the policy level, we've seen a lot of calls for reduction in price. We're calling for double the speed, half the price. And we've seen a lot of changes in the telecommunications sector. I mean, there has been a lot of report on the ARPU, average revenue mm-hmm. per user, dropping. And that's been reflected in the recent earnings report that came out, sometime a few weeks ago.
And mergers aren't necessarily good for the consumers, right? Because if you have less players, then there's less competition, which is what most governments are against. Typically, actually, the classic example of that has been Singapore, which introduced the fourth telco player, TPG, very suddenly. And that caused prices for all plans to come down dramatically in Singapore, which is what the government wanted. So if you merge entities, this is the reverse, right?
Now, it's interesting, Sharit, that you mentioned the calls by the government to have higher speeds with lower prices, because that's something that's happened since GE14 of last year. And we actually have a poll running on our BFM Twitter where we're asking the question of, how do you think Pakatan Harapan's performance in office has been? Let us know what you think. That's at BFM Radio, and your options are good, poor, somewhere in between, and too early to tell. Now, we are heading into the 7:30 a.m. news with Sabrina Magdalene. So stay tuned for more international news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.